Hi, Dan Sheridan here, telling America's story. This is lesson number 58, and we're going to learn about the first martyrs in the American struggle for freedom. Now, in our last lesson, we learned about the Roundheads and the Cavaliers. Pretty interesting names, huh? Well, in this lesson, we're going to see how that struggle continued here in Virginia. Oliver Cromwell allowed the Virginia House of Burgesses to elect its own governor. So in 1652, they replaced the tyrannical Berkeley, who we learned about in our last lesson. But when Charles II came to the throne in 1660, the House wanted to show Charles that they were loyal to him, so they re-elected Berkeley. Now, if you remember in our last lesson, I said Berkeley wouldn't be out of power forever. Well, here he is. He's been re-elected, and the king confirmed it. Now, those 8 years out of power didn't teach Berkeley any lesson toward being better to his fellow human beings. Absolutely not. He was just as oppressive as ever. In 1661, a House of Burgesses was chosen, and this house was to the liking of Berkeley. They were his kind of guys. They were yes men. So he came up with a scheme to keep that particular house in place by simply adjourning it from year to year, so the people couldn't re-elect members that were more to their liking. So Berkeley was continuing to be oppressive. This is a terrible thing to do. And he was able to keep this up until the year 1675. So for 14 years, he had yes men. Now, if you thought that was bad, wait till you hear what the king did, King Charles did, to top it. He did something far worse than that. You ready for this? In 1672, King Charles gave away the whole country of Virginia to two of his buddies, Lords Arlington and Culpeper, and he gave it away as if there was nobody living here. The only illustration I can give is this. Imagine if your governor, whatever state you live in, gave away your entire state to two of his friends, and that includes the house you live in, as if you weren't here at all, just ignoring you. Well, that's what the king was doing. Well, there was only one problem for the two lords. There were about 40,000 people living here at the time in Virginia. So even with a king behind them, there was no way they could just take possession of Virginia. So the king's stupid grant never amounted to anything. It only made the people mad. And I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty mad myself. The king and Berkeley were basically bent on destroying the English liberties that the colonists enjoyed. Well, the people, they wanted to do something about it, so they would meet out in the woods in private to discuss their wrongs and what to do about them. They had to do it out in the woods or they'd be charged with treason. Well, things moved along, and just about that time, an event happened that would bring to a head the struggle between the colonists and the king and his tyrannical leaders. And what happened was that there were natives who were burning down inland settlements and killing the frontier people that were living there. Now, one of the jobs of a governor is if your people are being attacked, you have to raise the militia, the military, whatever it is that you have to defend the people. Well, Governor Berkeley didn't do that. He was so unpopular with the people, he refused to call out the military to defend the people, lest that military should turn on him. He was so afraid. So he knew what kind of man he was, and he knew if the people had the arms and they were formed into a military, they'd turn on him. Imagine what kind of guy would do something like this. Well, that wasn't the only reason he didn't call it the militia. Berkeley was secretly making a profit selling furs to the Indians, and he didn't want to interfere with his profits. So he was just letting people die on the frontier so he could make a buck and stay in power. Well, the people took their defense into their own hands. A man named Nathaniel Bacon took the lead. He was known as an honest and courageous young member of the House of Burgesses who had recently arrived from England, and he led the opposition to the governor's conduct. In 1676, he raised a company of armed colonists to go out and attack the natives who were attacking them. And as a result of Bacon's actions, on July 29th of 1676, Berkeley declared Bacon to be in rebellion, and he ordered that Bacon and his men laid down their weapons. Well, Bacon said no way, but instead of doing that, he and his men went and engaged those responsible for the attacks. So he went and fought those who were fighting against the people on the frontier. And after he was done with them, he marched back to Jamestown, where the governor and the regular militia were waiting for them behind a fortification. After a tough fight, Bacon's party won the battle. Bacon and his men employed an interesting tactic to win the battle. Here's what they did. They compelled some of the governor's women friends to stand in front of them while Bacon's men were firing their cannons. In other words, they were using Bacon's female friends as shields. Now, this piece of strategy won the day, and it was much laughed at, and Bacon was complimented on his white apron brigade. Well, after the fight, the frontiersmen forced Berkeley to dissolve the old assembly and issue writs of election, so the people were going to finally get their new House of Burgesses after their own choosing. However, Berkeley, being the man that he was, never intended on keeping his word. As a result, the Civil War broke out, and the Patriots burned down their own houses in Jamestown lest the enemies of their liberties find shelter in them. Unfortunately, however, Bacon died in the midst of this war of a fever, and the people lost heart with the loss of their leader, and they dispersed. And then Berkeley put down the rebellion with great cruelty. He hung over 20 men. And the first martyr in the cause of American liberty was a man named Hansford. And before Berkeley hung Hansford, Hansford spoke these last words, and this is what he said: "I die a loyal subject and a lover of my country." Then there was another patriot by the name of William Drummond who was brought before the vindictive Berkeley, and Berkeley said just before he hung him the following words: "I am more glad to see you than any man in Virginia. You shall be hanged in half an hour." Well, Berkeley hung him. He was a cruel man. So cruel that even Charles II thought he was nuts. Charles II disavowed the acts of Berkeley, saying that the old fool took more lives than I did for the murder of my father. And so he recalled Berkeley back to England. And it was said that Berkeley died brokenhearted after being rebuked by the king. Now think about this. Wouldn't it have just been easier if Berkeley had a sense of responsibility toward his fellow men? Wouldn't it have been better if he just loved them and acted kindly toward them? He would have died a happy man, loved and respected. All that tyranny just simply wasn't worth it. Well, Bacon's rebellion didn't accomplish much at the time, but the memory of it lived on, and it instilled in future generations a spirit of liberty, which made them determined to resist tyranny in the future. All right, we are going to move away from Virginia for the time being and head north and talk about New England in our next lessons. This is Dan Sheridan. This has been a pleasure for me to spend this time with you. I really hope you learned something. Remember this: until we meet again, be good to one another, because we're in this together.